The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Now, we often hear the term cancel culture used when social media and general media pile on to castigate someone for a perceived or maybe actual wrong. It can be a very damaging place as companies respond by withdrawing sponsorship, publishing deals and the like. Meghan Markle was at the receiving end of cancel culture this week because of bullying claims and accusations that she supported the Saudi regime because she wore earrings gifted to her by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. But let's look at the wider issue of cancel culture and pylon culture. We're joined by Stephanie Prisoner, writer and podcaster, and Mark Paul of the Irish Times. You're both very welcome. Mark, supposed to you first. You've often written some fairly provocative stuff. Have you ever been cancelled or piled on?
I've never been cancelled. I've never been a victim of cancel culture. And I think if you're going to write provocative newspaper columns, you have to expect to take it in the neck a little bit. And I do. I have, however, been at the bottom of a fair few pylons, which is essentially where thousands of people all at once online will pile on top of you. It's quite an intense experience. I mean, the first time that I ever experienced it was back in during the Euros 2016. And I wrote a column, a fairly provocative column, in which I criticised some of the online behaviour of feminists for cancel culture, for jumping on top of people. And it was written in very, very provocative language. And I went over then to France to watch Ireland play against Sweden. And the next morning, the column was published. And I was sitting with a friend in a cafe in France, and my phone was literally moving across the table with notifications. And I picked it up and I saw that I had thousands and thousands of notifications telling me how stupid I was, what a terrible person I was. Now, I mean, look, I have a pretty thick skin and I can take it. And
were you a bit naive to think that wouldn't happen?
I thought that some of it would happen, but I don't think the first time that it happens, nothing can prepare you for the intensity of it. Now, I wasn't, to be honest, I wasn't particularly distressed by it, and I wouldn't, you know, I mean, I wouldn't look for sympathy about it. But it gave me a little bit of an insight into the impact that that can have on people. And I flew over to Barcelona for a couple of days then to spend with a friend, and then I went to Bordeaux for Ireland's next match, which was against Belgium. And by the time I got to Bordeaux, the pylon had been going on for so long that Irish fans who I'd never met before were pointing me out in the street and saying, there's the guy who wrote that ridiculous Irish Times article. It's an intense experience. Sometimes it's something that you can avoid, but very often you can't avoid it if you're going to write newspaper columns.
And Stephanie, what about you? Have you had really strong negative reactions to things that you have written or put out?
I think it's important to differentiate, I think, between cancel culture and pylon culture, because when we're talking about cancel culture, for that pylon to lead to someone being cancelled, Mark wouldn't be here talking with us today. I wouldn't be here, because cancel culture does, you know, definitively end someone's career. They are no more online. I have been at the bottom of like one pylon, but I have some really severe that I don't really understand Twitter settings where I actually don't see the comments anymore. And that's something that I need to do, because Mark is able to kind of shirk it off. It's a very intense experience. It's hard to remember that you're in the eye of a storm that's actually not as big as you are perceiving it to be. And I'm not great at keeping that context. So I don't really engage in Twitter.
I'm not on social media at all, so I may have been cancelled years ago and I don't even realise it. Nobody's told me. But is there a sense in which this is the court, the old phrase, the court of public opinion? Or is it more about a mob? Essentially, yeah. A mob approach.
So let's move very briefly away from pylon culture into cancel culture. And cancel culture is when someone does something or someone is accused of something and the pylon becomes so great that it cannot be ignored and action has to happen. And sometimes that means that someone loses their job, or it means that someone is so toxified by all of the people piling on that people don't want to be attached to them anymore, so their boss or their associate groups will step back from them. What? In that way then, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, but what about the point, can you be half cancelled? And what I mean by that is, if somebody's a public figure and you're a business figure or a corporate figure, or you have a revenue, and some sponsors pull the plug on you and others don't.
I think what happens is, initially, Twitter or the internet steps in to become the judge and jury, and it all plays out. And if you are able to get an actual judge and jury, the actual systems that are in place in order to, you know, do a trial and do some investigation, and you come out to be seen to that was a mistake, then you can be half cancelled. But some people they won't follow the trial. So they will just see, oh yeah, that guy got piled on, that guy got cancelled, he got accused of this, I'm going to not follow this anymore. And they maintain that belief.
Oh, Mar, what about business deals and people losing out financially as a result of getting cancelled, and perhaps getting cancelled on foot of something that looked bad, but that wasn't the whole story. You know, there is the issue of proving that they have done what people are saying they did.
Yeah, I mean, the social media departments of businesses, of corporations, are just as scared of cancellation culture or pylon culture as ordinary individuals. I think one of the defining characteristics of both cancel culture and of pylon culture is a lack of proportion. And usually the punishment that is meted out to somebody online is usually out of all proportion to what they've done or what they have perceived to have done. If you take, for example, Gordon Elliott, the horse racing trainer who was effectively cancelled this week over a picture that appeared online of him sitting on a deceased horse. Look, obviously a very, very distasteful thing to do.
Well, was he cancelled as such? I suppose in a sense that there were some sponsors pulled out, others didn't, and it's resulted in a suspension. But has he really been cancelled?
Well, maybe he's been half cancelled, we'll see. He's certainly in a very, very dark and difficult place, I would imagine. I mean, you spoke about sponsors, for example, Betfair were very, very quick to remove themselves from. But there's always that lack of proportion. And another thing about cancellation culture and pylon culture, what they both have in common, the anger that drives it, the fuel for the fire, it's pre-existing. It's always there. It just moves around from target to target. So the anger isn't caused by somebody doing something. The anger just moves there because it's the latest target. So the anger in and of itself is the phenomenon that moves around Twitter just from different... Every single week, every single day, there's always one person who's getting it. I've been that person a couple of times.
And on cancel culture, Stephanie, is it always the case that sometimes somebody's cancelled when there are widely circulated allegations or accusations rather than something that's proven? I mean, we talked about maybe the Gordon Elliott case over social media. Here a photograph was produced and it wasn't a fake photograph. So people were saying, well, you know, he's not saying that didn't happen and that looks terrible.
Yes, but we do have cases where an allegation has been made, it's been piled on, and you know, the person has effectively been cancelled, they've lost their job immediately. And in relation to Gordon Elliott, in the half-cancelled question, he was cancelled initially, people pulled their sponsorship, he lost everything, then the actual court stepped in, and now normal proceedings have been in place and he will be able to come back in, you know,
when
however much time. But yeah, there are sometimes people who cannot come back from an allegation even though it has been proven to be false. And I think why that happens is because, particularly around, let's say, allegations around sexual harassment or misconduct, that someone says something because the actual judges and juries that are in place, the actual legal system, is not robust enough to support them. They don't feel like they can go the normal route.
So you cannot so they get have that to final independent outcome to, yes, to what the allegations are. Absolutely fascinating. Stephanie Preisner and Mark Paul, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.